Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Wow, I don't know whether they did or just thought they did. But you've got all kinds of people who spend their lives in churches. They will make a profession of being followers of Jesus, and not only in the view of others, but in their own minds, they are believers expecting to go to heaven when they die. And here's Jesus saying, no. Just let that settle in. Is that what it takes? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What an amazing thing for Jesus to say. Oh, how we invest so much in appearance. But you see, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. That's what man does. God looks at the heart. And he's looking for a people that he can call into that narrow way. Oh my God, what a horrible thing it is to imagine that somebody could say, I'm a Christian. I go to such and such a church. I went forward. I accepted Jesus. You know, the usual formula. And yet, nothing really changed. Nothing down here. It's all an outward profession. And somehow, because of the deception of Satan, they are able to live out their lives, die, expect to go to heaven, and find out only then that they're not. What a tragedy. You know, Jesus was asked on one occasion, are there a few that be saved? Only a few people going to be saved? He said, enter into the narrow gate. Many will try and not be able. Think about that. People who actually want to come to the Lord. There's some part of them that wants to come, and yet they're not really able to come God's way. This is a serious matter. And think about the worst, the most thought-provoking, heart-rending example of all that we've used many times over the years, and it comes from the title of the ministry, The Midnight Cry. When Jesus used the custom, I think we mentioned this recently, but Jesus used the custom of these friends of the bridegroom, the maidens. Anyway, there were women that were literally to go out and meet the bridegroom, conduct him into the beginning of the whole ceremony. And it was something that happened at night, and so they needed light. And Jesus said, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Well, what was the difference? They all had lamps. Everyone was there for the right purpose. Everyone even had a lamp. From the outside, everything looked valid, looked genuine. But when the time came, the foolish ones, they hadn't taken any oil. And there they were, unable to fulfill the purpose. They had everything on the outside, but they didn't have what it took for that light to shine. My God, what an amazing, and of course the worst thing about that was, it was too late at that point. That's the sobering thing about this truth. You've got so many people that the devil has somehow been able to deceive in one way or another through false doctrine, you name it, or something in their lives that hasn't ever been surrendered. The devil has been able to keep people in such darkness and such deception that they only find out when it's too late. You know, some of you remember years ago at one of the conventions, Brother Thomas was preaching on this, and I guess in one sense it was a little bit amusing, but boy, did the Lord really shine a light on that point. He was preaching on the closing of the door. And we had a couple, as I recall it, we had a couple of brothers from South Carolina who came into the meeting late, and they walked up to the door and started to open it, and a puff of wind sucked the door open. And so they stepped on through and stepped in, and the door and the same wind whipped the door shut behind them, bang. And just as that happened, they heard Brother Thomas say, and the door was shut. Whew. You talk about God putting making a point. But I'll tell you, it's not a joke. Because there is a coming a day when all hearts will be fixed. Every destiny will be set. And I can't think of anything worse than for somebody to be around the people of God in all our imperfections. We got them. But to hear the message and somehow to miss out. Can you think of anything worse? The devil's intimidated me like crazy to preach this, but it's got to be preached. The truth has got to be spoken. Because there's a heart of God that reaches out. You read the books of Corinthians and you'll discover that what Paul was dealing with, all manner of sin, all manner of problems, false teachers coming in. He warns them about another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus, and the devil sending out his servants like angels of light. The power that Satan was beginning to exercise to infiltrate the church, believers who hadn't given up, supposed believers hadn't given up their sins. And Paul's, in one place he says, I'm travailing again in birth because of you. I've given my life. I've laid down my life so that you could belong to him. And now I'm concerned. Are you really? I think that's a question that needs to be asked. What Paul said at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is kind of what came to me. And I'm just going to read it, and I don't know how the Lord's going to develop it. But Paul is concerned. I mean, he's gone through all the truth about how God used him, what God did to verify the message, and how he preached it with all that he had, and yet all these deceiving voices would come in, and all these issues, and it raised a question in his mind. And so in verse 5, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? Examine yourselves. So there is a responsibility on the part of an individual to say, am I really a Christian? How easy is it to come along and come in and sort of try to be a Christian? There's some effort, and yet you never quite get in. Jesus speaks of passing from death to life. It's like going through a door. And you literally, at one moment, you are in the realm of death, headed for destruction. But then there is a work of God, and there is an agreement, a surrender to that work of God, and suddenly you're stepping over here, and you have passed from death to life. But every person is responsible for themselves before God. there will be no secondhand Christians in the kingdom. You can't say, my parents knew the Lord and I went along with them. I'm good. Every individual is going to have that divine encounter with Jesus Christ where they pass from death to life. There's no way around it. Now you think about the example that Jesus gave, the parable of the sower. And how simple that picture is, but how profound. Where you see on the one hand a sower going out to scatter seed, and of course he scatters some on hard paths where people have walked and naturally it doesn't grow. But then there are three other places where he sows seed. One of them is on rocky soil where there's a little bit of soil on the surface, but down underneath it's hard. And then he goes to another place and he sows it, but along with the stuff that sprouts up, there are thorns that come up and you don't get any kind of crop. And it's only on the fourth kind, the good soil, where there's a crop that's produced. And Jesus explains it. There are people who hear the message of the gospel and they respond quickly. Oh, wow, that's great. But what happens is, Jesus said, when trouble comes, when you start having to pay the price, you start realizing what it really is involved. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How is Satan overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and what? Love not their lives so much as to shrink from death. Oh, I didn't know about that. You see what's going on with hard places down under there where the roots can't go out and get any moisture? You've got places down in people's hearts and wills that will not yield. What they're doing is serving self. And what's going on when they hear this message of eternal life? Praise God, that's wonderful. And what they're thinking about is, I've got a chance to live forever. It's self saying, my prospects are not limited to what I can get out of this world. I believe this message and I'll be a little bit religious and I'll be a good person and I'll get to go to heaven, and self will get to gratify itself forever and ever. And it's complete blindness and hardness of heart. I tell you, there's going to have to be a surrender. I mean, we've said these things many times, but I sense the Lord wanting to challenge people. Have you ever surrendered? I'm glad for everyone that comes. I'm glad for everyone that hears. But here's Paul writing to a Christian church and saying, examine yourselves. Is that wrong to say that?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.